Blog Talk Radio.
The link where you smell blood and victory, and we causing a stink. So don't come here trying to get bad, pumping noise,
cause here come the boys.
It's Alex and McNabb and D-Nab, no way you can stop him. He gon' get his even if he run or stay in the pocket. They too fat to catch him, too small to sack him.
And their arms too short, no way you can block.
And you know Brian Dawkins is raw, and he's sick with the hits cause he got players coughing the ball.
Hey, yo, your line need to read the defense book.
They stand up, we knock him down like a right jab and a left hook.
Oh, instant replay.
Now let's look, these cameras ain't lying right up the gut.
Brian Westbrook,
now what is y'all thinking? You better run faster than that, or you look at the back of Tom Pinkston.
I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. You're Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up.
No matter where you take us,
we still kicking field goals on our own 10-yard line with Dave Aiken.
Yo, the enemy is at war,
but their luck's over. Giving hell to your soldiers with Terrell Buckholz.
If you down with the visitors,
yo, you better run because the 200 levels are old.
700.
I know why your boy's missing.
He got stopped for doing a block, but he got popped.
Jimmy Johnson, no, he hitting.
Had your QB stretched on the turf cause he knows for blitzing.
And your coach, I know he crying. His arms sent shut down by Ben Corey Simon.
And he be making gameplay fast. Take a look down in the end zone, you can see score, you gon' have to applaud.
We up in Philly, dog, you know what happens to Santa Claus.
Yo, our team got heart, y'all can't stand
but up. But yo, it's all Philadelphia Eagles.
I said your hands
our
up.
Our team got heart, y'all can't stand
but
up.
But yo, it's all Philadelphia Eagles. Put your hands up.
My Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. Your Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. All Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. All Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up.
Holiday season's greetings. Welcome to another edition of Sports Tonight, brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. When you want to purchase a water heater, log on to bradfordwhite.com. Gentlemen, we'll make this real quick. Special guest on the line, a Tampa Bay legend of his kind. He works for the Tampa Bay Rays, does a great job. He'll only be with us for a few minutes. I'd like to welcome Dick Crippen. Dick Crippen, happy holidays, sir, and may the spring training be a short way away and start playing baseball at the Trop.
Boy, let me get my hands down. Man,
I'm ready. I'm dancing around down here.
If you were here, you'd have your hands in your pockets.
Yeah, I understand that. Believe me, I saw the game on Sunday, and I'm thinking, the one thing they don't want is that again. You know, everybody, it's funny because I was talking to somebody today, and they said, you know, I'd like to at least see a little snow, and I'm I was telling my wife tonight, I said, they always say that because they think they can just limit it. But I said, you know, when you have to go to work in it and all that, I remember my days doing that. It's a whole different scene. But, no, I'll tell you what, Tommy, spring training will be right around the corner. This is the whole thing. When you go into the holiday break, which is coming up in less than 2 weeks, you know, you come out of it and you're into January, and middle of February you're into spring training.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's going to be fast and fast and furious, as they say, to steal a theme from the movies.
Thank you. Welcome to Don Henderson, a Philadelphia legend, also Roger Ayer and me. And, guys, you all know each other.
I know who picked the song.
We have to gloat because we beat the Lions. We saw Steve Inver. Record got shadowed by Shady McCoy, and what a great effort that was. But getting back to baseball, like I say, it's December. I'm picking the Tampa Bay Rays to win the American League East.
There we
and
go.
Be in a World Series. That's what I'm picking right now.
Have we heard anything like that before?
I think we have.
Every year.
Along the line. Every team until they're in trouble, and then he jumps off the bandwagon and jumps on the other side.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's fair game at this point because everybody's starting at point zero again, and everybody thinks they have the winning team and the winning combination, and Rays are no different than any other team in baseball, period. And it's just a matter of how it all plays out. Guys that you think are going to do absolutely fantastic, for some reason have an off year or something like that, it changes the whole landscape. So I think that's a fair game to sit there and start predicting and having your hopes running high, as every fan should if they're a fan of baseball.
You can never predict injuries, can you?
No, you can't. That's the whole thing. And, you know, it's just like they were talking about the Buccaneers. I heard somebody talking about it, and they were saying about, you know, the interceptions and things like that. And I said, but you can't orchestrate those. You know, they happen, and you don't know whether they're going to happen or whether they're not going to happen. But you can't count on it because you don't know. And that's the same thing with injuries. You have to prepare for it. And, you know, in the case of the Rays, they bring back guys who have had injuries. And, you know, hope for the best. And in many cases, it's worked out for them. So I think that, you know, it's fair game to start at point zero and just say, you know, everybody's going to go for the World Series, and all of them look good on paper.
How about the Tropicana Field right now, the upgrades of the Tropic? A fan can actually walk around 360 and see every part of the first pitch and the great plays out there now.
Well, I think a couple of things come into play on that, and I do like the idea. Down in Port Charlotte, where we spring train, you can do that. Bright House Field in Clearwater, you can do that. But I see so many people during spring training who are standing out on the boardwalk that we have that goes around the entire field, and they got a beer or a hamburger, what have you, and they're just standing out there watching innings upon innings. And it amazes me because I'm going, don't you have a seat? Yeah, it would be easier to sit down. But they love to stand up and watch baseball and compare notes with everybody around them and all that kind of thing. So what this is going to do for Tropicana Field is, number one, if you're in the outfield or anywhere near that area, you're not going to have to go downstairs into a corridor to get your concessions. The what used to be called the Batter's Eye and then Everglades Restaurant is now being converted, and it's basically going to be open air except for an opaque screen that we're going to be putting up right behind the batter's eye so the batter can see the ball coming in. But other than that, it's going to be all open. The only part that you can't complete the entire circle is right behind home plate where we have those lower field boxes. But other than that, you'll be able to walk anywhere around the stadium. And the beauty is if you don't have to go to the corridor to get your concessions, then when you hear the roar of the crowd out of nowhere, you don't have to go hunting around for a TV down there to see what just happened. So I think it's going to be a very positive thing. If people have friends coming and they want to meet up, it'll be easier to say, well, listen, meet me at the such-and-such concession up on the walkway, and they won't have to worry about, you know, down in the corridor or finding the seats or anything like that. So I think it's going to be a great thing. And then we combine that, and I think this is kind of unique. I really like this. We have what they call a flex plan this year, flex pack, where you can buy like 3, 6, or 10 tickets, and you get to choose the dates. And we didn't do that before. We had the dates already assigned, and, you know, you couldn't do anything with them unless you knew for sure that the people were going to use those particular dates. So now I had a writer for the St. Pete Times or the Tampa Bay Times come up to me and say, you know what, I'm going to give those things as Christmas gifts. Because now, without having dates already assigned, they can pick the games. And we have 5 weekends this year where we're playing either the Red Sox or the Yankees. So they're going to get a choice of those games. They're not going to be limited to, you know, Kansas City on a Tuesday night.
Dick, I think that's terrific. But going back to your first point about having the boardwalk, of course, down in Port Charlotte, but you look at the history of baseball, and they started in Baltimore and were very, very successful.
Right.
Boo had his place out there. Greg Luzinski has his in Philadelphia. I mean, every stadium that has done that and incorporated those restaurants into that boardwalk area have been very successful.
Yeah, and I think that'll happen here. I think people will find it very convenient. They'll find it fun to walk the walkway while the game's going on and not lose sight of the game. So I think there's an awful lot of positives with this thing. And on top of everything else, it's proof that the Rays, you know, are not taking it lightly about making the fan experience better. They're putting, you know, $1 million-some-odd into it along with the city. And I think, you know, it's just a great thing to say, hey, we're serious about sticking around now. Come on out and support the team.
Well, thank you. We always support you guys 1,000,000%. And what about Will Myers' rookie of the year? Couldn't happen to a nicer young man.
You know, it's one of those things when you look at how the Rays trade. You know, everybody's talking about David Price right now, and there's been a couple of references back to James Shields. And you sit there and look what we got for James Shields, and, you know, we're going, wow, you know, rookie of the year? I mean, that's pretty impressive. But that's the way these guys operate. They get value for whatever it is they trade. And whether or not David will get traded, I really don't know. I know he said today that he doesn't want an extended contract with the Dodgers. And that's going to kibosh a lot of deals because their hope is to get him in there now because he becomes free agent in a year. So they want to get him in now, sign him to long term, and go on. But apparently he doesn't want to do that. So we'll see what happens. He is very happy in Tampa Bay, and he has made no bones about the fact that he have no problem sticking around. So we'll see how it all plays out. And as I say, the Rays, very, very good with their trades, and we'll see if they can get what they need. The deck, you know, along with David Price, we have James Loney, and Loney is trying the free agency to see what happens, but he again has said that he is very happy staying. If he stays with Tampa Bay, he'd be very happy to do that. So it's interesting, and it makes for an off season of a lot of fun because everybody has an opinion.
Well, there's a plethora of first basemen available. So
I know.
Yes.
You know, you're really going against the tide, and he had such success moving from L.A. down to Tampa.
Yep.
I would think he would want to stay there because, you know, as I say, the competition at first base in the free agent market and what's already there is pretty good.
Yeah, and you're right. And I have to point to Yunel Escobar at shortstop because you guys know every team he played for he had problems with.
Right.
And he comes with the Rays, and he has been absolutely problem-free. He's been having a ball. And when they asked him, you know, what the difference was, he says, I love playing for the Rays. And that's where it's at. You know, Joe Maddon lets him dunk that basketball after he makes a great play. What difference does it make? But other teams didn't like the showboating. Well, you know, who cares? So if he makes the play, let him do what he wants. Whatever's going to make the play is fine with us. So he's happy there, and he's coming back. So, you know, Loney sees that, and then we also look at guys like Carl Crawford, and God bless him. I love Carl.
Yes.
But he goes up to the Boston Red Sox, and I said then, and I think, Tommy, you talked about it, and some of the rest of you did, it wasn't a fit, and it wasn't going to be a fit, especially with Bobby Valentine in there.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, he absolutely fell on his face. But then he gets with the Dodgers. He's having a better time with it, but he still hasn't equaled what he's done with the Rays. And I think part of that is the family atmosphere of the Rays. He felt at home in the locker room. He felt at home on the road. Lou Piniella told me one time, he said, I asked him about Carl on the road. He said, Crip, I got to go by and knock on his door and get him out of his room. Because he just stays in his room. And he said, I'll go, just take a walk, go to a mall, do something, you know, but get out of your room. So, you know, that's the kind of player he was. And when you look at that kind of a personality and put him into the Boston Red Sox, it ain't going to blend. It just isn't.
The question
so
of the day.
I think, you know, Evan Longoria looked at that. He referred to that when he signed his 9-year contract. He said, you know, he watched Carl. He saw what happened to Carl. And he's very happy playing where he is. So who knows? James Loney may decide worth taking a little less and playing for a team that you really enjoy. And maybe that's the answer. I don't know.
Play for a winning team, too.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you know, a real class act who lives down in your area, Roy Halladay, retired.
Yeah, retired.
And I thought he did it in a nice way where he had the Phillies cap, the Blue Jays. Going to retire as a Blue Jay, obviously. But he also had his son's Little League cap from Dunedin, which I thought was really a really nice gesture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, these guys are great. And you know what? Mm-hmm. You're talking about guys like Roy Halladay and especially the guys with the Rays. When we talk about a young team, the beauty of a young team, I tell people, they play, they love the game.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't gotten all into the money thing yet. Now, of course, with David Price and Loney and people like that, I mean, why not look at the money? Because at this point, you don't know how many more years you're going to have. But the fact is these kids play because they love the game. And that's what I love about it. And when you get a guy like Halladay who's honoring his son's Little League team, you know, I mean, he's giving a nod to baseball. I mean, not to the major leagues. He's giving a nod to baseball as a sport. And that's, I think, just a great thing to do.
Oh, with Doc Howard, it's a class act. But how's my DJ Kitty? Is DJ Kitty having a nice rest
right
now?
Oh, yeah, DJ Kitty's all over the place making all sorts of appearances, and the kids love him. And Raymond, the same thing. Raymond's in demand everywhere. Somebody asked me today on a thing I'm doing for a women's club here. Well, how could we hire the mascot, Raymond, to come in? And I gave her a number, and she'll see what she does. But, you know, right now it's amazing to me the talk in this area that does center on the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because it is really something to talk about. And this is always that fun time of year, as all of you know, when everybody has an opinion, everybody has a thought, and, you know, that's why it's great.
You know, like I said before, Rays will win the East, and you'll get that souvenir in October. And hopefully I'll be there to watch you put on that finger, you know. Can I take a picture of it there?
The one for the when we got the American League championship, and I tell people that's the most expensive piece of jewelry in my collection. You know, I've even taken the old cigar rings out and throwing them away, man, because they don't match up to that sucker.
I tell you, it's been great. Well, Dick, we know you got to run right now, we said before, but you have yourself a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we'll get you on the first part of the year, talk some more baseball.
That'll be great, and we'll hopefully have some things solidified by then, but you guys have a great, great Christmas season, and enjoy the holidays. That's what they're all about, and we will enjoy baseball to its fullest right up until we start in spring training, and then we'll start all the rumors.
All right, Dick, just enjoy the family. That's what it's all about.
Happy holidays.
That's it. You
Dick.
Got it. Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Same to you, my friend.
Thank you,
God
Dick.
Bless.
God bless.
God bless. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Wow. Gentlemen, doesn't get better than that, right?
No. You know, Tommy, you were talking about here we all got to see history on that Snow Bowl on Sunday with Shady. Isn't that amazing? Steve Van Buren's record stood up all those years.
Oh, yes.
And and I mean, Shady, he was so low key. I mean, so honored, you know. He said, "I'd watch a film of Steve Van Buren," and I mean, just really nice to see a young man like that take it the way he did.
Oh, you know, no, even more interesting, Roger. Not only that, you know, when he got to the 206, Merle was really spending a lot of time talking about Steve Van Buren. And Tommy said the other day that, you know, not too many people around the country really know Steve Van Buren. It was 1947. But if you remember, in 1947 at Shy Park, when Steve Van Buren did it, we had to go out and shovel the field before anybody could come out and play. The same kind of a day that they had on Sunday, only a lot more snow.
Yes. Yeah, history repeated itself, Todd.
Right, exactly.
and a little bit of the stadium compared that to Connie Mack, compared that to Link, a little bit better stadium conditions right there. But I remember the pictures of the old NFL book guys to see Steve Van Buren sitting on that hay to try to keep warm. Not today. These guys have electric warmers and their hands up there. you see that?
Well, go ahead, Tommy.
I was just going to say it was a great day for an Eagle fan, and Leo and I were at the Bucs game, and we didn't watch any of the Bucs game. No offense to the Bucs in Buffalo. It was not a good football game. But I said to Leo, we're sitting there up in the press box, you know, Don, where the TVs are. And I said to Leo, he's going to do in this run. He 206, and he had a 25-yard run. I said, Leo, we saw part of history that never will be accomplished by another running back in Philadelphia in our lifetime, and we just seen it right there.
Well, you know, on that run when Van Buren won, wasn't that the championship game? And isn't that the game there? Because there was so
Cardinals.
Much snow, they had to call him and tell him to come in. He didn't think there was going to be a game.
Not only that, there was no transportation. The people that got to the game walked. I took the train down to the Broad Street Station. And walked over to what was then Shy Park, then became Connie Mack Stadium, of course. But in the days that he did it, it was Shy Park.
Right.
As I said, they asked for volunteers in the stands to come out and help shovel the field off. And nobody thought they were going to play. Didn't think they had a chance to play because you couldn't get any transportation. There was nothing running. Mm. The subways were of no avail in this particular case because you had to go up to 21st and Lehigh, and that's the way it was.
Wow.
That's right.
It's just
fellas,
amazing.
Before we go any further, I just want to send out some congrats to a school that Don Henderson knows very well because all of his children graduated from Hopewell Valley Regional High School. Don and I were talking about it the other night. They started football 10 years ago. And on Saturday, they beat Lawrence High School, an arch rival. They are the Central New Jersey Group 3 state champs.
Wow,
so
congratulations
to them. And I'll tell you,
absolutely, Roger. The other thing, to put it into perspective, a number of years ago, the reason they eliminated football at Hopewell was because somebody was seriously injured. And they gave up football for a number of years, and the school board did not want to bring football back. They wanted to continue the way it had been. But the parents of the kids got together. They bought the uniforms. They got the field. They did everything, and they paid for it. The school did not pay for it the first 2 years. The parents paid for it, and then the school took over after that. So not only, as Roger said, not only is it a 10-year venture, but it's an 8-year venture with the school, plus a 2-year venture with the parents.
Right. And you know, Todd, I was reading that Todd Smith, the former West Windsor South head coach, who did a great job, you know, there with the Pirates all those years, he left after last year, went over to Hopewell, and he was the offensive coordinator. So he took a step down to be with that program. What is that?
Step up. Yeah, no question about it.
Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome another guest of ours. We know this gentleman does a great score. He's official scorer for the Tampa Bay Rays, does a great job at Eckerd College as their baseball coach. We haven't talked to this gentleman in a long while. Good to have him on. Bill Matthews. Bill, you're talking to Don Henderson and Roger Hender, Frank, and myself. Happy holidays and a happy new year to you, sir.
Thank you, Tommy. I appreciate it. It's good to be back with you guys. Happy holidays to everyone.
Yes. Oh, same to you. Coach, you got an opportunity to go to Temple University and recruit some baseball players after Temple dropped nine varsity sports.
Oh, isn't that something? Yeah, I saw that. You know, I've got a great Temple University story. About 15 years ago, we were playing Temple at our field. Well, no, it wasn't 15. It was maybe 10. And Craig Albernaz, who is with the Rays in AAA, was my catcher. And Craig was blessed with just an unbelievable arm. And we're playing Temple, and the first three guys that get on first base, he picks off.
Ooh.
Picks them off. And
wow.
Skip Wilson, God love him. Skip was there for 30-plus years at Temple.
Right.
Skip comes out of the dugout and says, fellas, if anybody else gets picked off, you're walking back to the hotel. No, they were staying in Tampa. You're walking back to the hotel. He said, I don't care if you take your lead, like it's a little league lead, don't get picked off. So for the rest of the game, craziest thing I ever saw, they took their lead with their left foot on the bag. Nobody, because they believed, they knew Skip would make them walk, so they just stayed on the bag. It was hysterical.
Well, you're exactly right. Skipper was with Temple for so many years. What a great guy. Very, very solid baseball coach. And I can just see him now. When something like that happened, it would be out of the world. But as Roger said, just to amplify a little bit, Temple dropped really six sports because of money. And baseball was one of them, indoor-outdoor track. Rowing was another. But anyway, the total package was six sports. And just because of the money crunch, that's all.
Mm. Right.
Well, I grew up in Rhode Island, and Providence College did the same thing.
Really?
The year after they had gone to back-to-back NCAA regionals.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah,
Providence
just
wow.
Because of the crunch. Yep.
Were you there with Dexter?
Don and I on Friday.
Were you there when Dexter was the big center?
I'm sorry?
Dexter, wasn't he the big center up there?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Marvin, I think you go way back. You go back to Marvin Barnes, but yeah, Dexter was.
Oh, Marvin Barnes, yeah.
Oh, God, the eraser, Marvin Barnes. I remember that guy. He was a great
player. Jack Rancis brought him up when we went up to to Syracuse, and he made the trade. They had signs all over the place. Where's your tire bar?
Don and I were at a luncheon, a sports writer's luncheon on Friday.
Uh-oh.
And I got to tell you, Mike Kern said he had a lead. He's the Daily News college writer. And he had to go somewhere in a hurry. Let me tell you, Don and I had known what was coming. We'd have been on that Broad Street subway to Columbia Avenue to a press conference in a hurry.
Like the old days, hit up and get up and go up there. But Billy, what do you think about the Rays new catcher? Your team played against him. He's from Rawlings College. That's a great acquisition for the Rays to make right now for the new catcher.
You know, Ryan Hannigan's a great kid. He was a great player for Rawlings. He can hit, throw. He's incredibly competitive. He's mature. I think it's a phenomenal sign. We faced him for 4 years, and the thing that impressed me the most about him was the fact that, you know, he was quiet, both in the way he was a leader and in the way he handled his pitchers. He's very soft behind the plate. He receives the ball well. He's just one of those guys that, you know, you love to have. Just because he's going to give you the same thing every day. There's no unpredictability about him at all. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's a great offseason acquisition.
Wow, that's great to hear. Well, how's your program going to be? Are you guys practicing right now for the holidays? You got some time off right now? Or?
Yeah, guys are just in the weight room now. Exams finish tomorrow. So this is my summer. I get like 2 weeks. Where all I do is recruit, and I can just kind of kick back a little bit, and then once we get to January 6th, we start our spring training, and we go through the month of January, and we open up February 1st.
Wow.
So
How's the recruiting going?
You know, it's pretty good. We're limited in scholarship money. We're right at about two scholarships right now. We're starting to get a little bit of money finally after in the last 2 years. So I'm putting it into the arms, and they're paying off. I had a great recruiting class last year because I graduated 15 guys.
Wow.
And I was able to bring in some freshmen who I really wouldn't have gotten in the past. I beat Ohio State for a second baseman. I beat Creighton for a shortstop. I beat Maryland for a third baseman just because they wanted to come to Florida and play. So we got beat up a little bit last year because they were young. You know, they're 17, 18 years old. But they went out. They had great summers. They came back this fall, and we had a great fall. So I'm excited. I think we're going to be okay.
Great.
Let's go against everybody else in our conference. You know, gosh, six of the last 11 national champs came out of our conference. So
wow.
It's a pretty darn good conference, and they're all fully funded. But that's what makes it fun, you know? I get
to
coach.
I don't
get to manage lineups. I actually get to coach players.
Uh-huh. Make a prediction right now for you, Bill. Eckerd
it
College.
Comes.
I love Eckerd College.
Oh, gosh.
We're doing a show. NCAA champions in baseball.
Wow. Hey, you know, I think we broke up, Tommy. I think I just had bad reception right there.
All right, let me say it again. You won a championship for Eckerd College this year. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
that would
be nice. You know, I played for one in 77 with Eckerd. So Bill Wilson was our coach in those days. And we had to lose two on the last day, and we lost both games by one run.
Ooh.
So I had a taste of it, but I'd love to get back there.
Oh, you won't.
What do you think about the Rays? You talked about the catching situation, but what do you think about the rest of what's happening right up till now?
Well, you know, they got to get a first baseman. If they can get a first baseman who can hit with a little bit of power, I think it's going to make a huge difference for them. Love to see him re-sign Loney, but, you know, I just don't know. You know, it's hard to say how he fits into their salary scheme. Price, I mean, that's a toss-up. You know, who knows? They're going to deal him, but you don't know when. But if they can get a first baseman who can hit with power, I think they're going to be a playoff team. I really do.
I think,
you know, with their pitching, and now with a quality guy behind the plate, not that the other guys weren't quality, but, you know, with a guy behind the plate who can give them kind of the same thing every day without kind of being a cardiac rhythm kind of guy back there, I think it's going to be a good year if they can just get somebody to hit the power at the first base spot.
And the thing about that is people don't realize that the Rays got Heath Bell in that trade too. And Heath Bell's going to – if he does what he did up in not in Miami last year, but San Diego a couple of years ago, he's a hidden wonder right there.
And you know what the only thing I worry about with Heath Bell – if he might get Rutburn sliding into the mound. You guys remember that when he slid into the mound 2 years ago at the All-Star game?
Oh, that's right.
That was Heath Bell who did that. They called him in from the bullpen. He sprinted in full speed and did a pop-up slide.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
if he does that at the top, he's going to get Rutburn.
Hey, Bill, remember I was watching the Marlins broadcast this past summer, right? And when the Marlins came in to play the race, I said to Heath, I said, I love your part when you had Billy the Marlin, when you had to educate Billy the Marlin about something for the kids. He started losing it right there. You actually watch stuff? Yes, I was watching Billy the Marlin when you're teaching the kids something about baseball. You started losing it too. So I think it's a great acquisition, the two guys the Rays got right now. And we just had Dick Crippen on Bill before, and I said the Rays are going to be win the East and probably get to the dance and then go in the World Series this year. So you'd be official scorer again into October again.
Well, as Roger said a few minutes ago, and I agree with 100%, you know, there's so many teams at the top of that American League East, injuries might play a big part.
Right.
You got to be lucky. You can't have anybody, you know, you can't have a Longoria or somebody go out for any period of time. They got to be able to play 150 out of 162 games.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, if Longo hits 269 again, you know, that they're going to need more than that out of him. But, you know, he's changed his shoes, and changing his shoes and going to a different brand has made a huge difference with him, and it's helped him a ton. He's gotten away from brand A, which will remain unnamed, and he's gone to brand B. And simply by switching his cleats, it helped solve a lot of his foot problems.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Bill, you know, Don's aware of it. There's a lot of, you know, in the Philadelphia media, a lot of criticism of Ruben Amaro, you know, for his moves and lack of. But when you talk about a first baseman, you know, who knows what Ryan Howard is going to do or in the future, this year and in the future. And then there was talk about getting rid of Darren Ruff, and I'm a Darren Ruff fan.
Mm.
And if anything happens to Howard, you've got a pretty good first baseman who they've moved around, trying to get him some more time. But, man, he's a power hitter who's really come through.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that Trumbo might still be available. I think on the open market, he was probably the best total package guy that was out there. You've got some hit-or-miss Dave Kingman types out there, but I think Trumbo was probably the best guy that was available. But, gosh, the market right now is so tough. If you hit left-handed and you can hit with some pop, you're going to get a lot of money. Doesn't matter if you hit 218.
If you're going to try
to hit the ball out of the park, you're going to get a nice contract.
Well, I know Shields is still out there, but I want to tell you something. When you give Cologne $20 million for 2 years, and he's 39, going to be 40 years old.
He's awful.
Something's got to. You wonder why the Mets lose? How in the world could you give a guy like that? Missed 60 games last year because of the substance abuse policy.
Yep.
Plus the fact he hasn't really pitched well. He did okay with the A's, but holy smokes, to give him $20 million in 2 years? I can't believe it.
That's bad.
It's ridiculous.
That's bad.
Yeah,
no, it's just funny because Cologne.
The players aren't going to say no if the owners offer the money. So you really can't fault the players.
No. I mean, in Cleveland, he used to call Bartolo Colon Fat Boy. he used to call Fat Boy. Fat Boy's in there pitching today. The Cleveland media used to call him that. So. But
he's got a lot of girth, Tommy. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know how he gets the ball across the plate, for God's sake.
He had a good year with the A's, and he got lucky because they used the former suspension to count as his time and all that. But holy smokes, if I'm the Mets, as desperate as they are, I'm not spending $20 million for Bartolo Colon. Holy moly.
That's awful. No. He should have picked up James Shields, Don, and everybody been better off than Colon.
What do you think about Halliday retiring? He did it in a class way, didn't he, Bill?
He did it with really class.
Yeah, I second that motion, guys. With Doc Halliday,
he knew that the time had arrived, and you talk about Rivera and the way he retired, and he was still on top of the game. In Holiday's case, I just think he realized that the shoulder wasn't going to come back. He wasn't going to be able to get the velocity, and he wanted to retire when he was still at the top of the game in sense of going out in a very strong way.
Yeah, like Steve Carlton went out, Don, the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Great point, because Lefty pitched in Cleveland. I saw him pitch in Cleveland. He wasn't the same lefty in St. Louis and Philadelphia. He was getting shelled for nine or six runs per game. Like, oh my God, he should.
So many players do exactly that. I go back to Robin Robertson.
Okay.
He wound up pitching, if you remember, he wound up pitching in Allentown with the Phillies minor league team because he wouldn't accept the fact that it was all over.
Oh,
and, he had a great, great career with the Phillies and a great career overall, a Hall of Famer. But he just wouldn't accept the fact that he was finished, and he's back in Allentown, Harrisburg, putting his clothes on a hook in the locker room. I mean, unbelievable.
Very sad.
I coached against Robin early in my career when he was at USF.
That's right.
And he was a great man. He would come in from the golf course and pulled up to the field in his golf cart every day and changed clothes in the clubhouse and come out to the field. But he was different. I mean, I guess he earned the right to be able to do that. But he was, he was a mentor to a lot of us who were young coaches. And he was a guy that, you like to listen to just because he had been through it. And, he wanted to share what he knew and what he learned.
Right.
I had a lot of respect for him as he was in his waning years in those days. When he left USF, I think he passed away about 4 years later.
Oh,
right.
That's true. Billy should have played him a round of golf before the game. He says, if I beat you in golf, we could play the game.
He lived right here. He lived around the Tampa area there. He didn't go back to Philly at all.
Okay, what I was just saying the bell before you played the baseball game. So, okay, Rob, let's play a quick nine. The winner of this nine will forfeit the game.
Tommy, if he let me use my fungo, I'd probably compete with him, but if I had to use golf clubs, there's not a chance.
Okay, well, I wish I'd known you backed him. I would have substituted for you right there.
You know, Phil, what was interesting with Robbie was that he and Kurt Simmons in Philadelphia were next-door neighbors and best friends. And I think Kurt is still running that golf club, isn't he, Don, up there in, in Montgomery County?
Yes,
yeah,
he is.
And I have a picture, ironically, I just saw it today, that I had gotten of Robbie when he was coaching at the USF.
Mm.
I'll tell you, Kurt Simmons got the toughest break in the world. You know, first of all, he had to go in the Army in 1950 when they were winning the National League pennant, never got a chance to pitch in the World Series, and then had the lawnmower cut his toes off cutting the lawn. he had some very tough luck.
And
then went on to the Cardinals and really did well for a number of years with the Cardinals.
Very well.
That's right, because he was good. But, you know, Bill, I think you're going to have a great year this year for your college up there in Eckerd College. You won a championship. And real quick, tell us one of your best stories about the official score for the Rays. I mean, we get like to reminisce to our listeners about that. Tell me a couple quick stories about that, real funny about it.
Two stories. There was a night where I made a decision that went against A-Rod. I scored an error, and I walked out of the clubhouse and went out of the press box. I was walking through the hallway, going to the stairwell, and this incredibly well-dressed gentleman came up to me, and he said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, sure. He said, well, you know, I kind of feel like you shortchanged my guy tonight. You know, I thought he was a fan. I said, well, I don't know who your guy is, but, you know, everything I do, I look at it a couple of times, and you know, I think I had a pretty good game tonight. He goes, no, I think you made a really bad decision about my guy tonight, and, you know, I'd like you to think about changing. And I said, you know, okay, you know, great. Thanks. You know, it was good meeting you. You know, I'm Bill Matthews. You know, I didn't introduce myself. I apologize. He says, I'm Scott Morris. It's good to meet you.
Oh, my God.
So that was I met Scott. That was how I met Scott Morris.
Oh, what a way to meet him!
You didn't sign. You didn't sign him as an agent after that, did you?
No, he didn't make me an offer, so I didn't.
You didn't make him offer.
The other story just happened this year. Poppy was in town with the Red Sox, and he hit a ball that was really, you know, it was hit hard. But Ryan Roberts, it was early in the year. Ryan Roberts was still with the club. He's playing 30 feet back in the outfield, and it one hops him, and he reaches across his body. He doesn't stretch, doesn't lean, just reaches across. The ball goes off his glove, one hop off his glove, throws to first base, but it's not in time because he's playing so far in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
So I rule it E4. So the next night, you know, pregame, I always sit down on the field, and I watch DT, and I sit on the John Deere tractor that they use to drag the field, and I just watch guys hit. And Poppy walks by me and sits up on the backstop, leaning against the net, and starts talking to a writer from the Boston Globe. And he's like 10 feet away from me. He doesn't know who I am. Well, I guess the writer had asked him about that specific play, and Poppy went off on me.
Oh,
like you couldn't believe. My ears were burning. And two guys there, and they're like, hey, can you hear us? Yeah, oh, yeah, I can hear him. He had no idea who I was, but, boy, was he ripping me. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So he ended up turning that play in, and they upheld my decision. But that was pretty funny. That's the kind of thing that, you know, when you score, you just got to accept something.
Did they change the decision?
Pardon me?
Did they change it?
No, they kept my decision. They upheld my decision.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, I only had five turned in this year, and I only had one overturned. So that's pretty good. Most guys have 25 or 30, so I had a pretty good year.
Bill, how does that procedure work when they turn in a challenge?
Well, in the past, they could negotiate with the scorer, and then they would have to take the video, and they'd have to write a written request, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The players' union in the new collective bargaining agreement now has a clause where you can send anything in, and you can send it in, a coach can send it in, an agent can send it in instantaneously. You can send it in immediately. So what has happened is the number of plays that were sent in, which usually numbered between 75 and 100 per year, have now skyrocketed to like 400 a year.
Oh my gosh.
Joe Torre is the guy who makes the decisions on the calls. And, you know, they'll notify us if a call's been turned in. But with instant replay and all, you know, it's, I think it's really hard. A lot of guys are just stubborn. And, you know, they make calls for different reasons. You just got to call the play as it is, because if it's going to get turned in, I mean, those guys have better things to do. So I was really happy to have only five plays turned in this year, because I look at the video, I take my time with it, I look at it, you know, from a coaching perspective. I think being a coach, it helps me, because I'm looking at foot position, arm angle. I'm not just saying, well, that should have been, could have been, would have been. I'm actually trying to determine if the play could have been made from an athletic perspective. And I think that really helps me a little bit, you know, because I don't use opinion.
I can remember in the old days at Comibank Stadium that, you know, the manager would get on the phone, he'd call up to Larry Shank, the PR director, and he'd go over to the official scorer and say, you know, Joe Torre just called upstairs, and he's not happy about this call on second base. And then it was a matter of whether the guy would change it or not, but not quite as formalized as you have.
Yeah, it was. I haven't had any calls during the game except once, and it was from a manager. And the guy sitting next to me took the phone call from the dugout, and he said, I can't tell you what name they used, but I think he wants to talk to you.
Oh, no. But, Bill, all
I
your
calls. I was going to say, I think when Don was alluding to in Philadelphia, I think Bob Kenny and Jay Dunn, I still know, does some. Do you ever meet any of the other official scorers, Bill?
Yes, actually, we do. We have we started this in 2012. Phyllis Marriage is the woman who's in charge of daily ops, and she's the person that we fall into her wing, and she arranged a budget to get scorers together at the MLB offices in New York in 2012, and I was there, myself and a guy from Cincinnati and a guy from the Angels, Phyllis's advisory committee. So we were there, we coordinated, we put the program together. Last year I couldn't go because they did it in February and we were playing. But this year they're doing it at a time again where I can go. And we get together, and essentially what we do is we look at video, we break down video, we talk about rule changes, we listen to guys, lawyers from the collective bargaining arena. Joe Torre comes in and addresses us. So it's only been in the last 3 years that they've actually tried to bring the scorers together to try to get some commonality. And we're actually producing a scorer's handbook, which will be huge. It'll be invaluable to everybody, I think.
Well, Bill, I know all the games that go the Rays. You're right on the money. You do a great job down there, and I can't thank you enough for doing a great job and for your love of baseball and that. But got Don Roger. The highlight is in the seventh inning stretch. I can see Bill racing to you know where.
That's why you know where. There's no doubt. The 17-inning stretch was invented so that scorers could use the facility. There's no doubt about that.
You're always doing 2-2. That's a highlight. Then I know, guys, my night's just about over when Baby Spill goes 17-inning stretch going you know where. So that's it.
Hey, Tommy, when nature calls, you know.
Or no special.
That's it. You know, you can only handle so much coffee after 5 p.m. And goodness gracious.
Hey, but Phil, to all the guys, you did this couple. Remember the marathon game this past year? Thank God you didn't have a baseball camp. When every time Boston would play the Rays, tell those guys you had to do that long game on that Sunday night. You had a baseball camp the next morning.
I walked out of there after the paperwork was done, and work is just 2 pages. But because we set a record. We had 21 pitchers here in a single game. That was the most in the history of the game. So I had to go on, and it took me 4 pages to get the final box score printed out. And I walked out of the building at 3:10. And I suddenly realized that I had to be there at 8:15 because we had summer camp going on. So I went home, and, you know, after a game like that, I fell asleep at about 4:30, 4:45, and that alarm didn't know any better. That alarm still went off at 7 o'clock, so... I got about 2 hours of sleep. I was working on fumes. I came in there the next night to do the game, and it was the first night that I ever felt like, oh, my God, I may fall asleep. So I was washing down my coffee with Mountain Dew, and it was great. That was a crazy night. Yeah.
But how about that one game this past year? It was a 21-inning game, right? So it was on a Friday night. I had to escape from lightning in the morning, right? Then great Rick Vaughn, the gracious dean of public relations, a good one of the best guys in baseball. And I said, oh, my guy's bringing pizza in here right now from Domino's,
right? Yeah,
he
brought pizza in at 2 a.m.
2 a.m. pizza shows up. We were at the point where we didn't really know if the game was ever going to end. I've had that feeling in the dugout, but that was the first time I've ever had it in the press box where I just thought to myself, oh, my God, this may not end. We may be here for a long time. And then the pizza shows up.
I'll tell you one thing. I think that once they made the decision a few years ago, because it was always one of the beat writers always was the official scorer, and unfortunately, if an incident came up, like you said, where the manager called up, they may not talk to them for a month, you know. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was one of the best things they ever did was to take the beat writers off being the official scorers and leave it up to somebody else who, you know, didn't have ties that they had to get out and interview anybody.
Well, absolutely, Bill. You know what? One of the great stories about a long game. I mean, what you went through was when the Phillies a couple of years ago had that long game. And there were people that started to see the game at, 7 o'clock at night, and they stopped by to see it pretty much end on their way to work.
Well, I'll tell you, Roger, that ball game, I did the show before the game.
Right.
I went back to the station. I came back again. And I got there about 1 o'clock, and the game is still going. And I stayed till the end. I said, "What in the world is this? Unbelievable!"
Well, you know, Mark Topkin, who's the beat writer for the Rays for the Tampa Bay Times, he had an engagement in Orlando.
That's right.
So he went to the engagement in Orlando, and he was driving back, and the lights were still on. And he thought, you know, well, this is strange. So he flips on the radio, not even thinking the game's still going on. He flips on the radio, and there's play-by-play going on in the 20th inning. And he was like, you know, this is a good choice taking tonight off.
That's right, because he came up the press box. We all kid him. Pop from that. Nice to take a nice night off here. I can't believe you took a night off from that. So, Tommy, that's the best way to do it.
21 inning game. Yeah, it's great.
But as soon as Bill, when that pizza came up, right, when RV ordered that pizza, the Rays finally walked off and won, you know. Lobaton hit that single and walked off and run up there.
That's the thing that I was concerned about was whether or not we were going to have to worry about whether coffee and donuts were going to show up for breakfast. That's what it is.
Well, I'll tell you, when it's all over, though, it's a lot of fun. We had some marvelous times at the ballpark. And,
oh, my God.
You know, you look back on it now, and you know, at the time, you say, what in the world? Is this thing ever going to end? But when you look back on it, it was a lot of fun.
Well, having been in baseball for as long as I have and coached and all, once I had the opportunity to start doing this, I finally realized the dream of making the big leagues, and that's kind of the fun part of it. I was 50 years old when I made the big leagues, so that was that makes it all worthwhile. I mean, we're blessed to be able to have a part of it, no doubt about it.
I know every
also
night
had a chance to do the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, playoffs are great.
I know. Well, Well, Bill, thank you for your time today. You have
Absolutely.
A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll get you on the, like you told Dick, we'll get you on the first show of the new year to talk about Hot Stove and Baseball.
That sounds great, guys. It was an absolute pleasure. I hope the holidays
are Take care, Bill. Good luck. Looking forward to it. And have a great season. Happy holidays.
Great.
Good luck, Coach.
Right, exactly the same thing. Take care, Bill.
Thank you. Right. God bless, Bill. Happy holidays to you, sir.
Thanks, Tommy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Guys, I tell you, it doesn't get better than this. We had Dick Griffin on, Bill Matthews on, talking about Hot Stove League baseball up there. And almost time for Lilo to show up.
Hey, Tommy, you know
don't
what Don
ruin
was
my night.
Saying about – don't ruin You know what Don was saying about, you know, some of the great times that we've had, and of course, my career, something like you fellows, but – I can remember so many great nights after a game, like Terry Mulholland's no-hitter. You know, when
right.
you go to the game that night, you have no idea you're mm-hmm. going to see a no-hitter.
Right.
You know? And that was one. And then I'll never forget David Brody, who I was working with. He was the sports director at Nassau Broadcasting. We're at a Phillies Cardinals game, and Whitey Herzog's the manager of the Cardinals. So David says to Let me have your recorder. So he starts going, and you'd have to know David, right, Don? You know,
yeah.
he's not afraid to say a few things. So David goes to Herzog, and he starts a one-on-one. The next thing I know, Herzog's using every profanity word in the vocabulary on David, you know, and really chopping him down. So then the next day, he's on doing the updates on Saturday morning, and I'm with my late wife and the kids, and we're going on vacation. So I said to Jenny, I said, I got to hear this. So there's like bleep, bleep, bleep. And she says, what did he say to David? I said, what do you think he said?
It was like that wall in Chicago.
That's right. And the Tommy Lasorda.
No, Ilya.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, and with the Ilya, you're exactly right.
With
you know
Lee
what
Ilya, we saw him over at the Super Bowl when it was in Tampa. We were kidding him about it.
Yeah, do you remember when we were all with him at the Super Bowl? You know, Tommy, Bob, Iback was there, Don. We're all there. And we told Howard Eskin, Lee Ilya's looking for you, and Lee couldn't find them. Couldn't find Howard.
Howard's a very popular man to be wanted, right? you think about games on memory. I remember when the Rays were first born, it was Hal McCray, the manager up there, and that. So the Rays just got shellacked, I think 20-1 or something like that, right? And I said, you know, being positive, you're going in there. I says, Hal, anything you could take positives from it. What about Randy Wynn, the effort he had? Randy Wynn, let me think. He stole 4 bases in that game. That's a wonderful game by Randy Wynn. He started I said, uh-oh, I better get out of here. And Rick Vaughn was saying, no, he says, compliment Randy Wynn. Then he starts cracking the heck up. And we showed the old station down, and we met, you know, Hal Downer, and I said, Hal, did you really – you know, sorry about this. Tommy, your breath of fresh air. When you came in that clubhouse and asked me that question, I was going to lose it, but no, I'm going to be you brought life in that room at that time. So.
Well, I'll tell you what Roger's talking about with Tommy Lasorda. I mean, remember that? What do you think? What?
And then Bill Lee talking about AstroTurf. You know, the spaceship man, Bill Lee. You know, talking about the Carpenter family. Oh, yeah, they make all those chemicals, that AstroTurf. I mean, he's like on a tirade.
Oh, no.
Oh, some of the characters, you know, over the years, I'll tell you. One of the greatest experiences I ever had was I was at Fenway Park doing the show on Friday night. And I think I was traveling doing training for mobile, and I had Bob Starr, the late Bob Starr, on. Of course, you know, he was the play-by-play of the Red Sox in those days, but he'd been the Cardinals, the Angels. And
right.
I also had asked Bob Uecker to come on. Well, Bob Uecker, I could tell, was a little apprehensive. Fortunately, I had met Bob Starr several times. But I'll tell you, when I was right in the press box doing the show,
And Bob Uecker saw, Bob Starr was with me. Bob Uecker came over. I shut up. The two of them did a show, and it was unbelievable. I wish I had a copy of it because it was classic radio when you just turned, you know, pass the microphone back and forth, and and Bob Starr was setting Bob Uecker up. He asked him about being honored the 100th anniversary of baseball in St. Louis, and Bob Uecker says, oh, yeah, yeah, but I went to Spruce and Goose. Bob Starr says, what'd you go there for? Well, I went there for the ballpark. He says, that's the old Busch Stadium, Bob. It was hilarious. It was wonderful.
Wow, that's why baseball's so great up there. And God, I remember.
You know, the funny thing is that, you know, people talk about watching the games on TV, and you know, I don't want to take anything away. They're great. But you don't have the stories that you have with the people that are on radio. I mean, they have great stories to tell, and I know I've told this one before, but we had an engineer at 1210, and he did the games for years, so he was assigned to go to New York to do the game, and he's all set up, ready to go, and everybody's calling the station, where is he, where is he? He's set up in a polling grounds for a game that was supposed to be in Yankee Stadium.
Well, he's in the right city, Don.
Yeah, he's in the right city. Just the wrong place. He was in Coogan's Bluff instead of in the Bronx.
Oh, I'll tell you.
But I mean, you know, you talk to guys that have been in this business for a long period of time,
right.
and they all have great stories. I mean, you know, things that happen. Either during games, after games, things that had nothing to do with games, the camaraderie that goes around in the ballpark and in the press box. Of course, for a long period of time before we got involved in it, the writers were very apprehensive about, you know, being involved with radio and television. They didn't want anything to do with that.
Right.
They thought they were stealing their jobs. But no, I really do. I think the stories that you meet with fellas and talk about it, and I don't think there's anything like radio. You just get a great feel for the game and a lot of fun.
Oh, I second that motion.
I agree 100%. There's nothing better when you think back into our youth, and we used to hear By Som and Gene Kelly and Unsa Claude Herring.
Right.
Those guys. You know, and then I remember Frank Sims when he came in to replace Gene, and, I mean, he was criticized, and he wound up being the nicest guy. Well, he was a nice guy. You were around him probably a lot, Don, and then he became the traveling secretary for the Angels.
That's right. And Claude, you know, people don't remember Claude Herring. He was sort of the sidekick for By Som for many, many, many years with the Philadelphia Athletics, and then, of course, when the A's left, he came over to the Phillies. But he was an American League announcer for years and years and years, and Claude Herring was his sidekick, and they worked together. I think Claude eventually went from there to Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. I think you're right. You know, and it's amazing the players that are now, when we were out in Pittsburgh, Rita's sisters, I was watching, and also Dad here, you know, because I think the MLB package of DirecTV. And Kent Tacolby, you know, is involved. Bob Wheat, or Bob, the pitcher, was it Bob, you know, he's the Phillies pitcher, and then he went to the Pirates.
Bob Walk?
Bob Walk, yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. So it's just amazing.
Look at Tim McCarver the years he's put in now in the booth. Came up from the field into the booth.
Right?
He's been there, I guess, what? Almost 30 years now.
That's right. And the analyst, the former left-hander for the Phillies, has been with San Francisco for years and years. He's been out there. I can't think of his name,
You know, Don, you have talked many times about Mitch Williams, how great he is, you know, with MLB, and I agree. I think he does a great job. And when I was up in Philadelphia, I heard him on a number of commercials. I want to tell you, he does a great job for PGW.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, he's working for Fox now, too. So, you know,
is he really?
Yes, he is. He's doing some work for Fox on the Saturday games. And post-game shows and so forth, and he's really made a name for himself between Major League Baseball and Fox, and I, you know, you and I have talked about it a lot of times, and I thought he and Larry Boa together, I know we're prejudiced because they're from Philly, but, you know, I thought the two of them together were the best team on Major League Baseball after the games.
I agree. Larry Boa, and then we have a guy down here, up to get him on. Brian Anderson does a great job. With him and Dwayne Stats do a wonderful job. But, guys, all the years, Mr. Todd Cowles should be broadcasting radio or should doing play-by-play in TV for his late great father. Todd should, every time I see TK, I said, Todd, you should be on TV doing baseball. You know, it's in your genes. He says, no, I'm happy what I'm doing up there and that. So it's just a shame. Hopefully.
Is that what it is, Tommy? I mean, has he had opportunities and he really is
yeah,
happy?
I think
what
as a matter of fact, it was in the, he wrote it up in the paper last year. He had had a couple major league opportunities. He said, no, I'm not going because my kids are not finished high school yet. I'm enjoying watching them grow up, and I enjoy this weather, and that's why he wouldn't move.
Yeah, he was with the Mets. He had a number of different chances. He was with the Fan in New York, worked for the Mets, and he had a lot of opportunities. And then, of course, went back down, and he worked for the Phillies. He did,
yes, exactly.
He did the television for the Phillies, and he went and you're right, Frank. He just decided that he didn't want to anymore. He just wanted to stay. You know, he got used to being at Harry's condo down there from the time he was a kid. And he doesn't want to leave Florida.
I don't blame
him. Well, you know, Chip Carey, you know, does the Braves on TV, and I guess if one of his kids decides to get into it, you know, that'll be the fourth generation of the Careys. And I know coming up very shortly, talking about generations in radio, the Gamblings, John A., John B., and John R. John R. is going to retire, and none of his kids are interested in the in radio business. So, you know, just shows you how things have changed when you had three generations of WOR in New York, and that's the end of an era. That's just the way it is today.
Yep. It's just crazy. I remember spending time in Cleveland. He used to listen to the late Herb Score. He'll say, throw the first back safe. Here's one of the Herb Score blunders on here, right? The Indians are playing in Baltimore, right? And he says, the final score, Cleveland 5, Chicago 3. I said, Herb, you're 3 hours, you're three days in Baltimore, you're not in Chicago now. So it's typical. Then he said, one of the Herb Score says, you know, a buddy of mine made a tape that he was the producer up there, and he always says, spinning a dial, says, old reliable Pete DiDonato, and it's, back at our flagships, it's Steve Fulton up. So Steve Fulton was a producer. When I first got his business in Cleveland, he made a Herb Scoreism tape, right? And he said, I can't say what he says. That is off the – he didn't know the mic was on. That Ripken, he knew the shit out of that ball. how do we blankety stop him? And those are the days when the Tribe wasn't that good up there. But Herb was known for a scotch and water up there and that. So I remember one day we followed the Indians to, I think it was Chicago. We see old Herb in the bar, right? So we sent a drink over to him, a scotch and water. We had a toast with Herb, and that was it. But, you know, he's a Cleveland tradition. And, you know, for also the late Ernie Harwell up in Detroit was a great radio tradition up there for doing the Tiger games up there and that. So it's just
about the holy cow, man.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. I mean, it's the radio, I mean, the broadcasters are, you know, now are, you know, in Major League Baseball is not like the old days, guys. And I love the old days, you know. You listen to, like, Byron Salmon or Saturday.
Well, you'll never, Tommy, you'll never hear, you know, Bob Prince-type broadcast anymore.
No.
Maybe in Milwaukee or maybe in Minnesota or something, but you're not going to hear, you know, you're not going to hear that kind of personality baseball announcer.
No.
Well, and, you know, thinking about one of the great ones, Tommy was talking, you know, Ernie Harwell, about others. Look at Herb Carneal. And I remember as a young kid, and Don, you remember, Herb Carneal was the sports director at Channel 3.
That's right.
WPTZ. And
that's
then he went to Baltimore, right, and with Ernie Harwell. And then he went to Minnesota for years and years.
And, you know, Dick Stockton was at KYW as well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did the Red Sox. You know,
That's
he was doing the play-by-play of the Red Sox.
And you guys, you can't forget the late Chuck Thompson doing the Orioles on that.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? WBZ on 13 out of Baltimore.
WBAL.
BAL. Yeah, because I remember I used to get the Channel 13 on a clear night. Remember the old days of, and this is way before cable and this and that, right? You used to get the clear night, put the antenna going toward Baltimore. You used to bring in the Orioles game up there. Because back
right.
then, back to what Don was, you guys were doing the Phillies, and I was watching the Phillies were bad, so actually watching a better baseball team than the Phillies back then was Baltimore. The days of Boog Powell and Jim Palmer and Brooks Robinson. I remember they were sitting, my dad and I, my mom were sitting one day, you know, sitting on a Saturday night, and my dad's watching the baseball game. And the Phillies had an awful year in 71. Frank Lucchese was manager. It was all chaos there. So then he said, get ready. He's going to miss church on Sunday. We're going to go see a World Series game. And we drove down the 1971 Game 7 to the last game of Roberto Clemente in his career. And guys, little did I know, first World Series game ever in my life, and then you see Clemente play his last game ever in Major League Baseball.
Isn't that something?
And I still got the program from that. I remember going down that, and Baltimore tied that series up, and my dad says, well, we're going down if Baltimore wins. I'm like, wow, World Series. Back then, guys, I think the tickets were only for $10 in the upper deck for the Memorial Stadium up there.
One of the worst. They talk about the drop. They got to go to Memorial Stadium.
That was awful. That was no place to park.
But I'll tell you, Chuck Thompson, and Chuck Thompson was from Philly, you know. He was.
He was?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Oh,
born and raised
that.
In Philadelphia.
Wow. But he came across the Channel 13. We're watching that, and you know, you're watching that coming back in on a clear night from Baltimore, and watching that. Then I remember the old hockey broadcast of Chuck. Who was the Rangers up there? They had the shot score. Who was that guy? Jim? I know his first name was Jim up there, and that. And I remember this audio to the day I died. They had a fan out there, and that. He said the Ranger fan at the Garden says, keep it up, Cashman. You'd be spitting teeth out.
that guy that did the Rangers also was on CBS doing the NFL. Jim, right, Tommy. It is Jim. And I'm trying to think, Don, you would remember.
God, I've been thinking it all night, Roger.
Well, there's Jim Gordon, but also
Jim Gordon, that's who it was.
Gordon, that's who it was.
Jim Gordon did it, but the guy that did it first was
I'm thinking of
Wynn Elliott.
Okay.
Wynn Elliott, that's right.
Yeah. And he did it in the early days.
Right.
Right, and he did the 7:45 in the morning CBS Sports National 15-minute feed. Wynn Elliott.
That's right.
Remember, he used to do every weekend. He did the
Wynn Elliott.
He'd take the Saturday and Sunday 5-minute period. Well, it's actually 4.5 minutes. He would do with all the scores and what was going on Saturdays and Sundays. He'd do it I think it was 5 after the hour, right after the news.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, didn't Marv Albert also do the Knicks and the Rangers?
Yes, I don't remember him doing the Rangers. He started with the Knicks with. What do you call it?
60, Madison Square Garden, 68. I remember he's doing the Knicks, but I think he did the Rangers.
John Andresi.
Yeah, Andresi did it. Mm-hmm. Yep, Andresi did it. And what the heck? We just talked about the documentary they made about it. He was the one that really put the Rangers or the Knicks on the radio and on the board. I just did a documentary of his life. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
I'm trying to think to get my mind working.
Well, the games were on the old 1050 WHN.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and Marv was the sports director there at a very young age, back in the mid '60s.
Well, his father worked there.
There we go.
That's how he got started there, because his dad worked there.
I remember that now, yes. But
the bloodline, right? The bloodline worked.
I remember Jim Gordon, he said, park in the corner, park back to return, shot, score.
Yeah, he also did the Giant games, too, you know.
That's right.
He
on WNEW.
Yeah, he followed the same guy. I'm trying to think of that they did the documentary of his
life.
Oh,
dear. We'll have to think about that. Call each other during the week about that. Oh, my God.
Well, you know,
Marty Glickman.
Oh, the legendary
okay, sure.
Marty Glickman. Yeah,
sure.
He's the one that really started the Nixon radio.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was the Giants broadcaster.
That's
on
right.
WNEW.
For years.
Way back. But, yeah, for years it was Marty Glickman, Al P. Rogatis, and
right.
Kyle wrote when he retired. But nobody, a lot of people don't realize that the Giants were, with that group, that team, they were only on WNEW. There was a separate broadcast team for the Giants Network, and it was the legendary Ted Brown
That's
doing
right.
the play-by-play, one of the great radio broadcasters in my lifetime, I can tell you that. And what a funny guy he was, wasn't he, Don?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you, Marty Glickman, when we talked about the great broadcasters earlier, and Marty was right in there. I mean, he was very futuristic. He understood basketball, and he really brought the game to life from Madison Square Garden. He was terrific.
I mean, sports back then, the radio guys, Stein, with your – Shirley Jordan, your broadcast to the Sixers, and that it brought back the fan that you're actually at the game up there. And that the radio broadcasters today, they go on as or they read down the media notes to the fans up there, regurgitating the information up there. Well, you know, Don, when you did the Sixers, you just did DeFloey did a great job doing the Sixers, and that's why, you know, when you think of the Sixers, you think of yourself and Temple and the Phillies up there, and now you know, great a job you did.
Well, Bill Campbell was really, he had a great thing, too. And, you know, his greatest thing was, do you believe that? Do you believe that?
And also, Les Kiter, St. Joseph 61, Temple 51, that's the arithmetic leads out. He always said the arithmetic, you know. When I was a little kid, what's he saying arithmetic for? I just went to school
and
about
he said
that.
It's the ring tail howitzer.
Yep, the ring tail
howitzer.
Yeah.
Why did he say the arithmetic? I just got out of school. I know heard the arithmetic. But my favorite guy in Philadelphia, other than Mr. Henderson, of course, had to be probably Stu Nahan doing hockey for the Flyers up there, right? I remember the one broadcast.
Captain Philadelphia.
Remember
Captain
the one brought,
Philadelphia, you're
that's,
exactly right.
That's
the
right. You know, people don't realize, the people that are listening now, you know, these fellas all had other jobs. I mean, you didn't make the kind of money that they make
no,
today.
Exactly.
And,
right.
You know,
Don, you're right. Look at John Carlton of the
right.
Go Patrol.
Oh,
he's
my
on
God.
The air at, what, 6 o'clock in the morning. He lived up in Schwenksville. Okay, he and Jed, and then he was the announcer. He'd be working all day at Channel 48, and then he'd go back and do the afternoon shift on the Go Patrol, and then he'd come back and do some reads at night at 48 before he went home.
Well, I used to go to Philadelphia Park Racetrack at 9:30 in the morning because we had to talk to the trainers and all, get ready. And then I'd interview a trainer before every race. And, you know, so I'd be in there at 9:30 in the morning. And I'd finish at 12:10 at 12 o'clock at night.
Oh,
you know,
right.
You know, you had to do two or three things. You couldn't just do one job.
That's right. You know. Remember John Carlton? He always said, this is John Carlton. He always had a helicopter thing. Well, Schuylkill's backed up. The Walt Whitman Bridge is backed up. The airport circle is backed up. It's just lovely. This is the place that I'm going to right now. Everything's backed up there. But you used to hear that. You used to, you know, you hear that helicopter noise, and you love that up there, and that because he's
that
on top of everything.
Hands against his chest. He wasn't up in the helicopter. He didn't have any.
Well, you got to remember, too, that he was the one that created it, Roger. He was the one that created the first.
He did create it, yeah, because
yep.
It was. John Carlton, Tom Stanwood in Copter 2, and Walt McDonald at the command center at Broad and Locust.
Yep.
Or Broad and Walt, whatever it was.
And
you know,
it was all brought to you, all brought to you by Atlantic.
Yes. That's right. Atlantic keeps your car
Roger,
on
it's
the
guy
go,
that, was,
go.
That was in the Heinz incident.
What was that, Frank?
Oh, Frank?
Wasn't John Carlton, wasn't he in the plane that got the updraft to, or the helicopter and then flew under the plane, Hines' plane, to see if the landing gear was okay? And they were killed?
I don't know. He could have been.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but you're very well could be right there. I don't know.
Yeah, he was killed up on, in fact, the plane, Hines has made a, he came in for a speaking engagement at the Civic Center, and they, as they made their first pass at the airport, the tower told them that the aircraft's landing gear wasn't down. So they volunteered to fly underneath to see if there was anything they could help with, the Arco Road Patrol. And as they just got over City Line and Lancaster Avenue, the there was a downdraft of the plane, and it hit the helicopter, and everybody was killed where the statue at the cross is.
St. Charles Borromeo Seminary.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that at all.
No, I didn't remember that at all.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, who won the pool or the picks last week? What happened to the picks?
12-4 right here, first time in 4 years. Speaking about the picks, guys, I'd like to welcome Doug. Doug, how you doing this evening, sir? Hopefully you're staying warm up there.
We are. I was going to say, this week's golf tip is how to make a snowball.
I'll tell you, this golf tip down here, Tee off at 3 o'clock, and lucky to get 9 holes, and the courses are packed down here.
It's supposed to go down to 12 tonight, so we ought to be pretty chilly here.
Wow, no doubt about that. Yeah, man.
Raven fans, I was with your father-in-law this morning. You Raven fans died 3 times during that game.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you blinked or if you got up to, I don't know, go to the bathroom or do something, you missed a good amount of stuff that happened there in that last 2 minutes. So I tell you what, I mean, that's, you know, that recipe is still in place. It's not pretty, but it works. So unfortunately, I guess.
Yep. You guys ready for the picks then or what?
And you're ready.
It's funny. I'll tell you a quick story. We were out shoveling the other day, and my next door neighbor, 2 houses down, is a New England Patriots fan.
Oh,
he was lamenting the fact that, you know, they beat the Browns with an onside kick and they can't keep winning games that way. And I just kept shoveling snow because I'm thinking, did you watch the Ravens game? You know what I mean? So we can't do that anymore, you know.
I'll tell you one thing, though. That quarterback finds a way to win. I mean, he there's no question about it. The guy is a winner. Obviously talk about Brady all the time because he's been there a lot longer and won a lot more games in the last 3 seconds. But I'll tell you, you look at his record in the playoffs a couple of years ago, and I mean, he's money.
I know I'm coming into the tail end of the show here, and you guys may have discussed this previously, but, you know, guys can have their RG3s and Colin Kaepernicks and guys like that, if that's who they want to run their show in terms of the quarterback position, but I'll take a 6'5", you know, strong-arm quarterback who can get it done in the clutch any day of the week and build my offense around him, you know, as opposed to, you know, all the guys over the years that have come into this, you know, Michael Vick and all these different guys that just still aren't, they're not lasting, you know what I mean? So
right. That's
just my opinion. But
well, I'll tell you, RG3, I don't know whether you saw it today or not, but he's on the shelf for the season.
He is.
Wow.
I was just going to say you could have him.
Well, Mike Shanahan might be on the shelf, too. You know, he might not fall behind him.
No question about that. Okay, Tommy, go to it.
Yep.
Okay, you ready here? I got one more pick I forgot to get down here. Okay, Thursday night game, San Diego at Denver. North Turner. You got to go with Denver. Gentlemen, I'm going with Denver. Okay.
Sweep? Yep.
Okay, sweep. Washington. Coming up to see you, Roger, at Atlanta. This might be the game in a WEAK. Might be more people at the Christmas malls. No offense to Reggie Roberts. Maybe people at the Christmas malls, ice skating, getting
Tommy,
the stuff down from the
program.
Attic.
Don't refer
Pardon
to
me?
That. This is a family program. Don't refer to the announcement, please.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Atlanta. Gentlemen.
The question is, if Roger's still listening to us here, Do the Falcons have anything to play
for?
Yeah,
I'm right here.
Are they still in it? Are the Falcons still in this, or what? Are they giving up?
Yeah, right. Hey, listen. You know, we were talking. I was over there today. We were talking about Sunday. You know, the controversy on Sunday is going to be about the Kirk Cousins, you know, starting at quarterback for the Redskins.
Right.
Okay, you got 2-3-10 teams, and Washington's going to come in, and it's going to be very interesting to see how they play.
Well,
yeah.
Everybody thinks they've
sort of given up. I have to go with Atlanta at home this week. I can't go for a backup for RG3.
Yeah.
No, I guess a sweep.
No,
I guess.
I'm going to go with Atlanta too. Absolutely.
Okay.
Well,
sweep again. Okay.
Washington doesn't even have a first-round draft pick. I'm going with Falcons. They don't care what happens.
No, they don't.
They gave it up. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. Chicago against the Browns. And this could be the Arctic Bowl coming off the winds coming off Lake Erie in a Sunday afternoon in Cleveland. I'm going to go with the Browns.
Oh, don't tell me that. Give me a break.
I could go with the Browns.
Look, you see what the Bears did on Monday night with the
Dallas?
Yes,
holy smokes, I got to go with the Bears.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears.
Okay.
Da Bears.
Okay.
Da Bears.
All right, I'm with you. I'm gonna take the Browns.
Thank you.
Josh Gordon goes for another $150.
Woo!
Well, you know the offensive coordinator is for the Browns, Norv. So I gotta get with my buddy Norv.
Well, I might change my pick. Don't give me that information.
Houston and Indianapolis, guys. It's gonna be Houston's god awful. It's gonna be a sweep of Indianapolis.
Yeah, Colts.
Yep, Colts.
Sweep, I guess. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo looked deflated. They're playing for their paychecks on the 15th of this month. Hopefully they got them and they against Jacksonville team in Florida. Buffalo is spending more time in Florida than Buffalo, so I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
They're in Jacksonville or in Buffalo?
No, they're in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say they win two in a row. I go Jacksonville.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jacksonville too, Tommy, because they've won four of the last five, and it seems like Gus has that team on the right track.
Yes, he does.
I believe so.
Everybody got a sweep, I guess?
Yeah.
Jack.
All right, New England at Miami, old AFC showdown. I got to go with Miami because they'll be on the sunny side of the field. Those big offensive linemen be huffing and puffing. Plus, New England lost that tight end, their tight end. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins. Gentlemen?
Dolphins.
Okay.
Boy, what do you think, Tom?
I'm going to stay with New England.
Oh, Captain Happy,
I'm going Captain Happy.
Okay.
Yeah, after the ass-whipping he took on Sunday, he's going to have them with really foaming at the mouth, so I'll go with Captain Happy.
Okay. Roger, we pick you for Dolphins or New England?
No, I'm taking the Dolphins.
Oh, okay, fine. Eagles.
Try not
Eagles
to eat ice cream while we're on air, Roger.
What was that?
Try not to eat your dessert while we're on the air.
We're not a Frank. Are you saying we're not a cherries now, or what?
Yeah. No.
Remember those ice cream sundaes? Just a Frank.
Oh yeah.
Frank said, I can't believe eating that, Tommy. Doug, we seen a big ice cream sundae and that. Oh, my God. I was in heaven back then, but that's okay.
Of course, he was also in the coronary unit right afterwards.
Yeah.
No.
I got it every week along with that chicken salad. It was good. So, it was good, but is there a Jamie sighting, I wonder?
Mm-hmm.
Doug, they had me against the wall. I could not see Jamie or anybody on either side. They had me facing the wall. And there, these student waitresses, Jamie and who is it? Oh, who's the other girl named Frank? Jamie and who's the other girl? It was Jamie was a bubbly blonde, and everything. Frank said, "Hey, there's a Jamie site. We had Jamie on here for 2 minutes."
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh, beside the point. Here we go. Eagles at Minnesota. I'm going to go with the Birdies.
Oh, I got to go with the Birds too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going with the Birds.
All right, all birds?
Yep. Yeah, big day DeSean Jackson, big day, big day.
Oh, Shady was fantastic up there. Seattle.
Got to give Chip Kelly a lot of credit, Tommy.
Oh,
hey, I never thought that they would be in this position.
Mm-hmm.
No, couldn't agree more.
They even had him come back in for two extra practices this week. Voluntarily, they came in.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, Frank, you know, there was a great angle to Sunday's game. Carrie Williams, I guess, you know, the quarterback, he went over to Chip and told him, and I guess, Don, you saw the story, he went over and told him that he was not able to cut on a certain play. So he said, why don't you run that on offense, because the corners, you know, for Detroit weren't going to be able to cut. And he listened to them, and they ran it, and they scored a touchdown.
Yep.
And they were saying, you know, on WIP, they were saying that they never thought that if a player did that, said that to Andy, he would never accept it.
Well, of course, those were plays in the great days when quarterbacks made their own calls. When one of the receivers or one of the people came back and said, hey, this play will go. Unfortunately, now it's so, you know, stereotyped as to what they're going to do to send everything in from the sideline. So you're exactly right, Roger. It's very unusual that a coach will accept that and do it.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Seattle up your neck of the woods, Don, against the Giants. Seattle's just too good a football team, as we know.
Seattle's not going to lose two in a row.
No. They're too good a football team.
Seattle.
Okay, everybody. Okay.
Yep. Seattle.
Everybody got Seattle? Okay. All right, so this game, next game, be played down here in Tampa Bay through a thunderstorm and be kind of sloppy out there. Colin Kaepernick comes down there for San Francisco, and the White Bucs been playing defense, guys. I'm gonna put the upset special in the week: Tampa Bay over San Francisco in this one here. That's the upset special of the week.
San Francisco had a giant game last week against the Falcons, and it looks to me like they've gotten themselves together for second half and last quarter of the season. I'm going to go with San Francisco.
Ooh, okay. Gentlemen?
I'm going to take the 49ers, Tommy, like you, because it's in Tampa. I mean, I'm going to take the Bucs against the 49ers.
Okay. Gentlemen?
San Francisco for Doug.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure EMS can get to both you guys, because I know you must have had a stroke somewhere.
I don't think they can.
49ers.
I don't think they can. All right, the Jets at New York Football Jets at Carolina. It's just going to be, boy, what can you do about this game? Carolina, tough loss to New Orleans, but I'm still going to go with the Carolina in this contest, gentlemen.
Yeah, I'd love to say Rex is going to save the season, but unfortunately, this is going to be his elimination game. I don't see any way the Jets can go to Carolina and win. So I'm with Carolina.
Okay.
Carolina here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Carolina.
Yep. Oh, okay. All right, Kansas City at Oakland. I think Andy's going to have a nice day in Oakland, and we're going with Andy and the Chiefs out there.
I'll go with Andy as well.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen?
Andy and the Chiefs.
Yep. Ditto.
Okay, it's an all. Okay.
I'll take Danny and the Juniors.
Next game is going to be Green Bay and the Cowgirls. This would be at the Jerry's place.
Yeah.
Not Jerry Plav, but Jerry Jones's place.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, did you ever see a worse game than Monday night? I mean,
no. Terrible.
It was really the Cowboys. I mean, it's embarrassing to see what happened to them on Monday night. I mean, no defensive line, no defensive backs, injuries all over the place. I mean, as much as I'd like to say the Cowboys are going to win at home, I see no way they can win. To me, there's no way I can pick the Cowboys.
Well, no way. Okay. All right, I'm going to go. Okay, gentlemen.
Doug is going to pick the Cowboys because.
Uh-oh.
No Aaron Rodgers, you know. I mean, the Cowboys need to win this football game. DeMarco Murray runs it up to about 180 yards rushing.
Okay.
Cowboys.
Okay. All right. Who else? We all set then?
Packers.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, Frank?
I think it's a good Uh-oh. Wait a minute. We have another another country carried from here.
Uh-oh.
And you hit the wrong
town of Little Bethlehem has sent their favorite son, the cat lover. Oh, no, this is Frankie. I'm sorry, Frankie. I thought that was Leo coming in.
Don't put Frankie in his category.
That's right. Uh-oh. Oh, geez.
Boy, oh, boy. I'd be embarrassed if that happened.
The Flyers just scored to make the game 1-0 against Chicago.
Ooh,
nice.
Okay.
Oh,
great
good.
Update. I forgot that was on up there, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Jesus,
I'll take the Green Bay myself.
Okay, Green Bay, okay.
Wait, Green Bay against who?
Cowboys.
Green Bay Cowboys.
Yeah, I know you hate them too, but I don't see how they could do anything this weekend.
I don't know. I mean, the Cowboys are a lot healthier than Green Bay.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Cowboys by three.
Ooh, how about that?
Oh, yeah. Taking those Cowgirls. Go taking those Cowgirls. Are ready for this next game? New Orleans is going to get a semi of a bye. They got the Cardinal, got the Rams coming in. New Orleans at St. Louis. I got to go New Orleans at this. Mm-hmm. You know, St. Louis is toast.
I'll tell you, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to pick the upset here. I'm going to go with St. Louis to beat them.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah, I hate to pick the Saints because I can't stand them. I can't stand Peyton, but I'm going to have to pick them, I guess.
Okay. Gentlemen?
New Orleans. Drew Brees is too much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, New Orleans.
Okay. Frankie? Got...
Now I'm going to go with the Rams.
Oh, jeez. It comes in.
Frank, you've gotten smarter every minute.
They've got a good defense, and they're starting to play well.
Okay, I guess we're all set then. What two more games? Arizona and Tennessee. What do you do for this game? I'm going to go with Arizona.
I got to go with Bruce. I can't jump off his bandwagon
now. That's right. What about Norm Turner's bandwagon? You were on Norm's last year.
Yeah, Norm. How's he doing in Cleveland?
Not good.
You know, today they were talking about Bruce Arians is probably one of the top, or at least close to the top, if not the top candidate for Coach of the Year.
Absolutely.
Right, he should.
I'm picking the Cardinals.
Okay, you can play Cardinals, okay.
Yep, Arizona.
Okay.
Yep. Cards.
Okay. Frankie, you going to pick Tennessee or what?
No, it's Cards.
Okay. That's an all, okay.
He couldn't lose that much. He couldn't lose that much brain power in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Cincinnati.
Okay, Roger.
Cincinnati for me, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know my pick. Yeah.
I know Doug doesn't want Pittsburgh. I know that.
Yeah.
I guess we're all set down here. And last game, Oakland at Baltimore.
Detroit, Baltimore.
Oh, Detroit. Oh, I'm sorry. Got to go, but Detroit. Detroit at Baltimore.
The one you won last week, Tommy. You probably the week before.
No. I'm going to go with Baltimore, Joe Flacco and company.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know where my abilities are.
Detroit.
This is going to be tough.
Detroit.
Yeah, I'm going for Detroit too.
Uh oh.
I'm gonna take Baltimore because you know I have to.
Well, yeah, same here. Okay, I know Frank's gonna pick Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
And Rogers.
You know, if the Lions get pushed around, that defensive line gets pushed around like they were last weekend, those guys aren't gonna win another game the rest of the season.
Ooh, okay.
They got a guy coaching that team that ought to be with Norv Turner. The two of them ought to have a team together.
The Canadian
Norv's
Football
good.
League.
I love you, buddy Norv. I love it. It gives me headaches every week when I read who's losing, who's got the most yards for the Browns. Like, oh, well, Norv's doing this, but he's not a good head coach. So we're keeping it at that. I guess we're all set then, guys. So we'll put this away for next week, and hopefully can make it 2 weeks in a row on that. So thank you for playing. Thank you for playing football raffle, as Paul Perron would say. Thank you for playing Eagle raffle.
you know, guys, it just occurred to me. I know some of you know about what I encountered on the turnpike on Saturday for a path to my daughters. A flock of birds hit me around Downingtown, and it just occurred to me. I'm heading west on the turnpike. Maybe they were ravens attacking me, thinking I'm going to go to support the Steelers.
Oh, God.
Could be.
Oh.
They had some great finishes this weekend.
Oh, my
none
God.
Better, none better than Baltimore, but they had some great finishes this week in the NFL.
Don and everybody, being a Browns fan, that was disgusting, discouraging. How can you not recover an onside kick in the middle of the football field? I saw the replay. I yelled and screamed at the TV. It was totally a disgrace of being a Browns fan.
Well, you should be used to that by now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The drive, the fumble, Elway. Oh, God,
yeah.
that was awful.
Just out of curiosity, if Bill Belichick actually ever did call into the show, would you physically refer to him as Captain Happy?
Yes, I would. Here's a true story about this, right?
Wait a minute. You know what he'd do? Excuse me, Mr. Belichick. What did you say, sir?
No, guys, we used to cover the Browns in Cleveland, his press conferences. I started snoring his press conferences. He put me right to sleep, and Kevin Byrne, the great public relations in football with the Ravens, now he says, why are you falling asleep? I said, this guy puts you to sleep. He's better than a sleeping pill. All right, you're out of here. I mean, I see Kevin many years later. I said, Tommy, you start falling asleep. Now I'm wide awake. But Bill, you're right. Bill did put you to sleep. I said, yeah. So, but no, I was. There's one time, when he's in Tampa one day in a preseason game, I had an Indians hat on. You know, not stir everything up. An Indians hat on, right? And I said, hey, Bill, how you doing? Hey, Mike Trivulsano loves you. He starts growling at me and asks, oh, I got to get out of here.
Well, the one thing you got to say for him, he's consistent. He's consistent.
Right.
Same way with everybody.
I'll tell you, he does show a different side. I got to talk to him one-on-one for a couple of minutes after a Super Bowl press conference, you know, during the week. And it was all about a guy that, unfortunately he's passed away, Ken Purple, longtime coach at Lawrenceville School, and the single wig. And it was right after Ken passed on. And I asked Bill, I said, would you give me a comment about the Ken Purple's passing? Mm-hmm. And he did. I'll tell you, he elaborated, and he told me that he started communicating with Ken when he was a student, when Bill was a student at Andover Academy, and Ken was the coach at Lawrenceville. So he was in eighth grade when he started. I mean, I've heard that, you talked to him about something that's unrelated to the team or something personal. Boy, he really will talk, and he did. I was really impressed.
Oh, wow. Well, see, I got in the middle of the mixture there because Modell just hired him. And he said, I didn't hire an entertainer, I hired a football coach. And I go, oh, boy. And then everything got scrambled. Tony Grossi and Frank Thierry, the publisher of Browns Illustrated, got in the corner there. Belichick went after Tony Grossi, went after Frank Thierry. And I'm in the middle just watching this stuff. Belichick went after me. Oh, I'm getting the heck out of this place, you know. And then he went after everybody. But the best line ever is about Bill Belichick, right? Beavis and Belichick, you know, always Captain Happy. If you look on the old Belichicks when he used to play in Cleveland Stadium, right, he always was yanking the cord, right? One day the cord guy, his feet got tangled up and then Belichick fell. And I started cracking up because the cord guy messed up his job. And he started yelling at the guy holding the television cable for doing that up there and that. So it was like he couldn't play hop, skip, and a jump for that day up there. But,
well, I think you have to separate the day of the game and the post, either the pregame or postgame conversations with the reporters.
Yeah.
With the rest of his life. I mean, you know, just as you said, Roger, you know, when you talk to him about things not necessarily after a ball game, that's altogether different.
Right.
But he just doesn't appreciate asking dumb questions.
Oh, gosh, no.
Well,
oh,
that's right, Don. And I talked to Thomas Dimitrov, you know, who worked for him for a number of years, the Falcons general manager. And he's told me some things, you know, about how different he is away from the media conference, you know, to talk to and gets much more personal than he does, you know, with the media.
Well, it's the same thing down here with Greg Schiano. I mean, this past year, I had to do some football stuff, you know, for Metro. And Nelson Luis does a great job for the Bucks PR staff over there. He says, Tommy, come here. Your coach wants to meet you. And, you know, I said I'm from the Northeast, you know, in Philadelphia. He's from, you know, Rutgers. And now we started talking and non-football stuff, just down-to-earth person up there. And it gets me irritated when these fans start saying, fire Schiano. They don't know, like with Coach Belichick, they don't know the other side of the person up there. They don't know the other side. They are always reading the paper, reading reports, watching TV about people will say want to fire this guy. They don't know the personal side of the guy up there. And that's why, you know, that's why Andy Reid was, you know, a great football coach for the Eagles. You take all those great coaches down the line, Dick Vermeil, and all those great coaches that we had in Philadelphia, Fred Sherrill, Billy Cunningham, Charlie Manuel, I mean, Larry Bowe, and all the great coaches we had down the line up there. We don't know their personal stories up there. We knew the guy come up to the microphone, read them in the paper, said this we did wrong. And as fans, we take the reporters and the media side because we want these guys to win every game as being a fan.
Well, I'll tell you, before we leave the football scene, though, we ought to chat a little bit about Notre Dame and Rutgers in the Pinstripe Bowl. Now, I want to tell you something. They went from what, a national championship game last year to the Pinstripe Bowl playing Rutgers, who was 6-6 and an awful 6-6. Holy smokes.
And guess who they had to beat South Florida to get 6-6 times?
They were happy to get a bowl bid, Don.
Absolutely.
Wasn't that bad, Frank? Wasn't that bad?
Yes.
Tommy Rees is not the answer. He's definitely not your quarterback answer. I think with Golson coming back next year, you're going to see a vast improvement.
And then Rutgers had another, suspension, fired two more coaches. I mean, another harassment charge. I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening at Rutgers. I just can't imagine. So far this year, they've gotten rid of a president. They've gotten rid of a basketball coach. They got rid of his assistants. Now they got two in football. I mean, holy smokes.
Yeah, but if I was a Rutgers alumni, I would be mad where I had my kids going to school. These kids are supposed to look up to these coaches. They're their peers up there, and they're sitting getting all kinds of trouble and misdemeanors up there. What's that going to do for the reputation of the great school of Rutgers?
It's unbelievable to me. I can't understand it. I couldn't understand the cover-up the first time.
Stay in the Atlantic 10 for me, Don. How about my GW Colonials knocking off Maryland?
How about that? How about North Carolina losing that first game of this? I mean, you know, you've seen them play now. They look like a national championship team. Boy, oh boy, if you saw them play. And I'll tell you, at Temple Rutgers, I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it. The Temple game against Texas on Saturday was a terrific basketball game at the Wells Fargo Center.
Wow.
They lost the game on Judy, two foul shots, and he steps over the line. And they call for it, and they lose by a point.
Oh, no.
Well, I'll tell you, a positive game coming up, the annual Army-Navy game.
One of the
great classics this Saturday at the lake. And, boy, I'll tell you, if I was up there, I'd be there.
Three o'clock game.
I would, too. I mean, this is the greatest tradition of the service academies. I remember going up the old Philadelphia Memorial Stadium for my first one, and I thought I really enjoyed it. So every time that time comes around, guys, if I'm in Philadelphia, I try to go up to that game. There's a great history of the Navy, great history of the Army, and it's playing in our home city of Philadelphia. We can't be any prouder for that.
Roger, can Army ever win again?
I don't know. That's a good question, unfortunately.
How many is
it
now? Eight, nine straight?
Oh, it's got to be. Maybe even more.
Wow.
But I'll tell you, Don, one of the great games, not so much for the competition, but from our perspective, was when John McCain and Schwarzkopf were there, and we got to interview them in the press box, you know, remember the same game. I mean, and this was like right after Persian Gulf War I. So how often do you get an opportunity like that?
Right.
Oh, my God. I remember meeting Schwarzkopf down at a hockey game one day. He was a hockey fan. Well, McDill was down here in Tampa Bay right here.
Oh, yeah, because he was the central command, right? Tommy?
Right, yeah, because he was walking downstairs meeting the players, and I seen a guy dressed in Army attire. I thought, oh, my God, looks like our chief in command. I went up to him and says, Tom Gilbert, Tampa Bay Lightning, walked on Bill, and he says, it's a pleasure, son, to be here. Thank you for serving our country, sir. I saluted the guy. He saluted me right back. That's a true story. I mean,
he's a graduate of Lawrenceville School.
Yes, he was.
Oh, my God. It was an honor to meet him that day, guys. I was like, I was kind of scared. I said, wow, my God, had this guy in our building, and you want to go up and talk to him, and you shook his hand, thank you for doing a great job, and walking to our building up there and that. He's with my boss at the time. Shook his hand, and I went back to the office to get some work done. But my God, it's a pleasure to meet the guy. This Don and everybody, his handshake just killed my hand up there. That's how strong a guy he was. So I was like,
couldn't
oh my
hit that
God.
Driver for 3 days, right?
Yeah. He was going in the woods for God's sake after that, guys. Oh dear, Frankie, how you doing? Any interesting comments for the any interesting comments tonight?
No, not really.
All right.
How's the weather out there in Salt Lake, Frankie?
It's cold and snowy.
Oh my
is
God!
Is it?
Yeah.
Doug, how about a golf tip for these Northeasterners coming down to play in hot Florida? What tip you want to give them, real quick?
Well, I tell you what, if they're lucky enough to get out and experience some weather and get in where they can get in, this is obviously about the time of year where I talked to you guys about for the listeners that are out there to kind of, you know, work on their body a little bit, get a chance to get in the gym and do some stretching, some flexibility, and, try to get their body prepared for when they actually do get a chance to, on a regular basis, get out into the springtime and, certain exercises they can do for flexibility, hamstrings, core, low back, different things that obviously shoulder turn that might be able to help them further when they get the opportunity into the springtime. So, interesting time of year, obviously, for me. We're closing up our season here and looking forward to the beginning of next season. So about this time of year, we start taking a look at some of the new equipment that's coming out. The annual PGA show will be held in Orlando, and unfortunately, I won't get a chance to get down there, but I'm meeting with sales reps for the upcoming season to talk about, some of the new stuff. And there's some good-looking stuff out there. All the manufacturers do a really good job of research and development, and trying to get their technology moving forward so that it can help most of the golfers that get out there and play. So, obviously that being said, guys in the South, I think, are getting their first, taste of some of that new equipment as it's launched earlier, typically for them. Take a look at your golf bags and see, maybe there's something in there that needs to be replaced, whether it's a driver or getting rid of that 4-iron and getting a hybrid in there, or checking the grooves on your wedges to make sure that, we can still get a little bit of spin on the ball when we hit it. Checking your grips, obviously, for wear. All those kind of good things that can help you maybe save a few shots.
Interesting, Frank, you should bring that up. Let me ask you a question about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's a normal cost of re-gripping a set of clubs or one club? Say one club, three clubs, whatever.
Uh-huh. Well, I can tell you with the boom on petroleum, that certainly hurt some of the market in terms of the grips, because they're primarily made out of, petroleum products and rubber and things of that nature. So,
right.
That unfortunately has escalated some of the price of that. Typically if I'm going to regrip a set of clubs for a member, you're going to be in like the $10-ish per club range, maybe as much as 15 if you get an extra special grip.
So $10 to $15 a club is basically what it is.
Mm-hmm. Typically, and I think obviously depending on how much you play, I mean, you should take a look at your grips every year, you know, particularly like if you're prone to using certain clubs more often, like your wedges, obviously, or maybe your seven irons, your favorite go-to, and you tend to get a little bit more wear on that.
Right.
I typically use a corded grip because I like the rough feel and the abrasion on my hands. So, you just have to pay attention to the durability of your grips and simple things, like I said, like taking a wet towel every so often and wiping down your grips can help. Extend the last of them. If you have corded grips like I do, every now and again I'll just take a piece of sandpaper and just kind of run that over the cords to kind of rough them up a little bit more, and you can get, some more wear out of them that way as well. But, take care of them. It's simple.
Great.
Hey, Frank said we're tick, tick, tick against the clock. Doug, thanks for coming on.
Yes,
sir. Talk to you next
Always a
week.
Pleasure. You guys are
Frank,
awesome.
Frankie, thanks for coming on. I'll talk to you next week. I'd like to thank our legends, Mr. Don Henderson. Stay warm up there, sir. We'll talk to you next week. Roger, stay warm up in Atlanta. We'll talk to you next week. And
Great. Always great to talk to you guys. God bless. Have a great week. Take care. Thanks, Frank. It's always a great job.
Okay, fellas. Frank, thank you very much. Doug, everybody, and, of course, Tommy, good job again. Take care.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, guys. I'd like to thank Dick Crippen from the Tampa Bay Rays, Bill Matthews from Eckerd College. We'll have to get on Jim McKean probably on next week's show. We try to get a hold of Jim. But I'd like to thank always our sponsor, Bradford White Water Heaters of Amber, Pennsylvania. We're Princes of Water Heater. Log on to bradfordwhite.com. The Abbey Course at St. Louis University. Give Tom a call, 352-588-2016. Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club. Give Tim Baker a call, 352-588-5454. And Frank, talk to you next week for the last show of the year. And oh, my God, how this time is fine, Frank. God bless and have a wonderful week. And we'll talk to you next week, Frank. God bless.
Yeah, have a good time at the signing tomorrow night, Donnie.
Oh, I will. I'll tell Mike your very best, sir.
Yes, please do.
Thank you.
Ladies
bye
and gentlemen,
now.
These programs are brought to you each and every night. Grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, women, police and fire services. When you're out there and you see someone in the uniform, just walk over and say thank you. It means a world of good to all those guys. We especially dedicate these programs to our fallen officers, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman and Officer Crispin, Lakeland PD. Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office. Chief Al Hogle, Longwood Key Police Department. Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department. Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol. Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Uniform Division. Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA, Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department. Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department. MIT Officer Sean Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hand.
Shemalek ma'ilama, shemahezahilma, sona shenevoratfet, hakuigegen ma'ilma. Grief and pain are all I know.
Good night, Bob. We miss you. Good night, Frank. We love you.
Good night.